Appreciate the good song. Thank you, Brother Strode. Paul said, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." That's more really than our human minds can comprehend. But I believe it. I believe it. Jesus, when he walked in this world, he was God. He was all God. He was all man. I'd certainly like to ask for your prayers today. I want to take a scripture reading today from the ninth chapter of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9. Beginning with verse 1, we're going to be reading about the first tabernacle. Hebrews chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. It says, "Then verily, the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost this signifying," I want you to really think about this verse, "the Holy Ghost this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of reformation. But Christ being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle," now we're beginning to read about another tabernacle, "by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" And I'm going to stop reading there. That's having read the first 14 verses of Hebrews chapter 9. And I want to speak today about the fact that the Hebrew writer told us here in this last verse that I read that Christ offered himself. That he offered himself. And we have our reading in this, ninth chapter of Hebrews, as I said, about the first tabernacle And that is the tabernacle that was made in the days of Moses. And if you want to read about that, then I've got a recommendation for you. You go to the 25th chapter of Exodus and read through about six chapters, Exodus beginning with the 25th chapter of Exodus, and read through the 30th chapter of Exodus. And if you haven't done that, you ought to do that. It's fascinating. But in those six chapters, you will find every detail given concerning the making of the tabernacle. It was all born in the mind of God before it was ever disclosed to man. When he told Moses, there in Exodus 25, when God revealed his plan to Moses about making this tabernacle, which was a tent, it was something that was mobile, it was something that they could move from place to place. But when God gave instructions to Moses that this was to be made, he had every last detail ironed out. I mean, down to the color of thread and the types of skin that were to be used, the furnishings that were to be placed within the tabernacle when it was completed, the way that it was supposed to be taken care of, the way that it was supposed to be moved from place to place. God had every detail in place when he revealed to Moses what he wanted done. And as I said, you can go read that, and it's really a good study, and it's fascinating. And everything that God put into the plan for making that, every color and everything that was to be used was all significant. I promise you, I may not understand it all, but I know this, that it all had a purpose in what he wanted to accomplish. But here in the ninth chapter of Hebrews, the Hebrew writer came along and he just gave us a very brief summary of things that we are taught there in those six chapters in the book of Exodus. And he really got to what I believe is the real purpose here for the reason that this was made to begin with. It was all about Christ. It was all about setting forth Jesus Christ. It was all about showing all of the service of the tabernacle was all about showing forth the perfect sacrifice that was going to come. And as the Bible tells us here in the ninth chapter of Hebrews about the work of the priest in the tabernacle. Now, God chose the tribe of Levi to the priesthood. And from among them, he chose Aaron and his sons, his successors, to be the high priest. And the ninth chapter of Hebrews here breaks this down into two tabernacles. It talks about two tabernacles. And what it was that there was a veil that divided the compartments of this. And there was a veil that what was behind that was known as the Holy of Holies. The first part of it was known as the holy place. And the priest, the Levitical priests, they were allowed to go in there and minister. They were allowed to go in there and, as the Bible says, to accomplish the service of God. But not all of the priests, only the high priest, were allowed to go beyond the veil into what was called the Holy of Holies. And if you read about that, when they went in there, they had to be very prepared. I mean, they had to be prepared right down to the last detail of what God instructed them to do, or they were not coming out of there alive. If they went in there wrong, they would lose their life. They had to go in there, and they not only did they have to have on all the priestly garments that they were instructed to wear, but they had to take the blood with them to offer it up there as an atonement. As we are told here, this was an annual thing that they did, and they had to do this. For their own sin. The high priest had to offer this for his own sin and also for the sins of the people. But now, if we go on into the 10th chapter of Hebrews, the Bible tells us that the blood of these animals never took away their sins. It wasn't even possible. The Hebrew writer said, it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. And so we're going to talk perhaps for a little bit about what the purpose of this was. But listen, I want to go back to this 8th verse and just point something out here that I believe is very important to the understanding of this. The Hebrew writer here said the Holy Ghost, and that was right after that he said into the second, that is into the Holy of Holies, into that second place, or that second tabernacle, if you will, went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. Now, when he did that, the Holy Spirit was signifying something. The Holy Spirit was showing something. It said the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing. But I want you to notice this. It does not tell us, the Hebrew writer did not tell us that the Holy Ghost signified that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made while the first tabernacle was standing. He said it had not yet been made manifest. It had not yet been made clear. But I promise you that it had been made, because Jesus stood as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And salvation has always been through Jesus Christ. And it still is today. But there was some obscurity yet. There were some things that had not yet been made completely clear that later were. But the purpose for all of this, all the sacrificing of those animals, all the shedding of blood, all the death that took place there, the tabernacle became a bloody place there, and all of the sacrifices that were made were all pointing forward. They were all typifying the sacrifice that was going to come, the one perfect, suitable, acceptable sacrifice that was going to come and was going to shed His blood, that would be possible for the removal of sin. The removal of it. What did John say? What did John the Baptist say when he was there at the Jordan? When he saw Jesus coming, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which does what? Which taketh away the sins of the world." The blood of bulls and goats couldn't do it. It was not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could remit sins, could take away sins, but the blood of Christ can. It can. And it does. Jesus offered himself. The Bible tells us here that he offered himself without spot to God. Now, we can go back there into the Old Testament, and we can read that these animals, that there were specifics, there were requirements when they would bring an animal there to the tabernacle. When they would bring their sacrifice, they were not allowed to just bring anything, and God would not accept just anything at their hands. They were not allowed to bring their worst animal. They were not allowed to bring an animal that was blind or that was lame or that had some other type of infirmity. They had to bring the best that they had. They were required certain things in these animals, and if they brought anything that was not sufficient, God would not accept that of them. And listen, when it came time for God to make the sacrifice that would take away the sins of the world, did He not give to us the very, very best? I'm telling you, He gave us an offering without spot and without blemish, a perfect sacrifice. Jesus was perfect. You know what? All these people that say stuff about Him that's not true, they need to stop saying it. He was perfect. He was not a sinner. He was a perfect sacrifice. And so He offered Himself. Now, you know, the type is never exactly like the antitype. It's a type. That's what it is. It's a type. These animals, when they brought them there to be offered and there to take their blood and take their life from them, these animals didn't have choice in that. They brought them there and they sacrificed them. But listen, when Jesus came, He gave Himself. He offered Himself up for us. He freely gave Himself up so that you and I could be saved. And He offered Himself. And I want to, you know, what I really want to talk about today is that Jesus, He took up His cross. He took up His cross and He offered Himself there on the cross. He gave up His life for us. He gave up His blood for us. He made a way for us to be able to be saved. And listen, when we are blessed enough to have come to the Lord and to have been able by His grace to meet His conditions of repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, and when God gives us sweet peace from heaven that rolls away our burden of sin and takes away the pain of the condemnation that we were feeling, then we need to take up our cross and we need to bear our cross and we need to follow the Lord every day. That's what the Bible teaches us that we are to do. There is more expected of us as the children of God than filling a pew on Sunday morning. Now, you may not like that, but it's true. There's more that's required of us. There's more to carrying a cross. Assembly is good. Assembly is expected of us. We are taught in the Scriptures that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but there is much more to carrying a cross than just showing up for an hour and saying that we have done our duty to the Lord. There is work for us to do. We need to think about it, I suppose, in the way of as we start each day, that we have a cross to carry, that we have a burden to bear, that we have a work to do. There have been people that have written songs about this. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. And in the 9th chapter of the gospel according to Luke, I believe in verse 23, Jesus taught there that if any man was going to be His disciple, that he would have to take up his cross daily and follow after Him. Mark 10, verse 45, And Matthew 20, verse 28, tell us this. Jesus said this. He said, the Son of Man, this was after, you know, they got into a discussion, the disciples, about who would be the greatest. And he said, well, whoever's the greatest is going to be the one that's the servant. He said, even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He came to give his life as a ransom because we were captive. I mean, we were held by sin. We were in the bondage of sin. And Jesus came to pay the ransom that would be necessary in us to be set free. And I'll tell you what, and I know that everybody that has been truly born again can appreciate this and can understand this because you have felt this and you've experienced this. But I'm telling you, that night in the summer of 1973, when the Lord heard my prayer and saved my soul, He set me free. I mean, He freed me that night from the consequences. He freed me from the eternal consequences of sin. And the Bible says that if the Son makes you free, boy, you are free indeed. You're free indeed. And so He came to be our ransom. In the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, where we read about the sufferings of Christ, in verse 7 of that chapter, it said that He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. That was Jesus. That was Isaiah's prophecy of the coming Christ, of His sufferings. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so He openeth not His mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And we know in reading about the things that Jesus went through, that He suffered like no other man. There have been many people in the history of people, in the history of the human race, there have been many people that have had to suffer many things as a consequence for their own wrongdoings. There have been many that have suffered imprisonment and death and various tortures and various judgments because of something that they did. But Jesus was not guilty of anything. He came here and He suffered more than everybody, but He suffered not for His own errors, but He suffered for ours. For ours. When you've got that all figured out, you let me know. You explain to me how one man could take up on him the sins of the entire population. But He did it, didn't He? He took up on Him. I don't think we really have a clue what Jesus felt when He was going to the cross. I don't think we have a clue what He was really going through when He took up on Him all of the sins of everybody from Adam's race, from Adam to the last one that'll be born in the world. Jesus bore the sins of the whole world. Now, you know, it's not asking anything of us as His children beyond reasonable expectation that we take up our cross and follow after Him. The Christian life was never promised to be easy. And listen, we can make it easy if we don't really, if we leave off a lot of things about it, we can make it easy. But if we really serve the Lord, there's hardships that we encounter and there's sacrifices that must be made. Jesus became a sacrifice for us, and we need to become a sacrifice for Him. We need to do the very best that we can. And I think that all of us as His children understand that we will never really repay Him for what He has done for us. But we certainly need to have the mindset that we find in the 116th Psalm after David had spoken about how that the sorrows of death had compassed him and the pains of hell had got hold upon him and he found trouble and sorrow. Then he says, "Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. I was brought low and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered mine eyes from tears, my soul from death, and my feet from falling." He talked about the glorious things that God had done for him when he heard his prayer from that awful pit and brought him up out of that horrible pit and placed his feet upon a rock and established his goings and put a new song in his mouth, even praise unto God. And he asked this question. And this ought to be on the heart of every one of God's children. He asked this question, 116th Psalm. He said, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What will I now give to him for all that he has done for me?" Jesus said in the 10th chapter of John, I believe verse 11, he said, "I'm the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." He gave his life for us so that we could be saved. And when we are saved, then we are required, we are commanded, not suggested, it's not just suggested, we are commanded to give our lives for Him, to Him, to Him. Isn't that what the Scriptures teach us? That we are to give our lives to Him, that we that are dead to sin are not to live any longer therein, but unto the one that saved us, unto the one that set us free. The Apostle Paul, I believe, sums this up really well in just a couple of verses. What is our sacrifice? You know, if the Lord made that sacrifice for us, we need to make that sacrifice for Him. What is our sacrifice? Children, what is it today? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We have a choice. We have a choice as God's people. Jesus had a choice. He had a choice, and He chose to die for us. He did it by choice. That's what He said. I give it. I'm offering myself. I'm giving myself. We have a choice. We can be a true cross bearer. We can be somebody that takes up our cross and follows Him, or we can be a Sunday morning Christian. We have a choice. We have a choice in what we will render unto the Lord for all of His benefits toward us. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. We don't like that, do we? Nah, I don't like that one, preacher. I got too many things I want to do. I got too many things on my agenda. I don't like that. What about the beach and the clubs and all the stuff that I want to do? Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow after me. Those are the words of Jesus. And he said we are to do that daily. Daily. No days off. We are to do that daily. And when we do, we are doing what's expected. And when we have done all that we have been told to do, Brother Lowe, what are we? Unprofitable servants. When we've done all that the Lord has required of us, we are but unprofitable servants. We have just done that which is expected of us to do. Brother Strode. We have a cross. Every one of us that has been saved, we have a cross. And let us bear it.
Number 270, verses 1 and 2. 270.
Let's stand.
Verses 1 and 2. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. 197, 1 and 3 of 197. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. 3. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Naught of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. 285, verse 4. 285, verse 4. Y'all got to bear with me this morning. This is on my heart. My cross I'll carry till the crown appears. The way my journey soon will end, where God Himself shall wipe away all tears, and friend hold fellowship with friend. Take up thy cross and follow me. I hear the blessed Savior call. How can I make a lesser sacrifice when Jesus gave His all? Amen.